Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome from Basel from our end. We are really happy to present to you today the half-year results 2018. With us here in the room is Gerta Winzer, CEO, Carsten Stolz, CFO, and Matthias Henny, CIO, who will also later would like to answer your questions. Now I would like to hand over to Gerta Winzer.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everybody, also from my side or from our side. For about 2 years at the Investors Day in October 2016, we launched our Simply Safe strategy. Simply stands for making things much easier for our customers and our partners in terms of products, processes, and communication. And Safe stands for going beyond insurance, working at in alternative business models in order to make our customers more safe. The basis philosophy of Simply Safe is that highly motivated employees generate very satisfied clients, and that this brings success and growth. These are also the three goals we set forward to reach by 2021: cash to billion, 1 million new customers, and one of the most successful employers. Our Simply Safe strategy is on its way. We're very confident we are getting there, and that's also we can also actually observe that in these half-year results. We confirm our strengths, and we progress very well in terms of the strategic intents and objectives. A personal note, it has never been so exciting to work together with all the colleagues in Baloise in this time of change and innovation. So we are very satisfied with the 2018 half-year results. Very solid P&L from 270 million. We're growing in the strategic important non-life segment, and we keep our combined ratio at a very solid level. Our capital strength is huge, also confirmed by Standard & Poor's with a rating upgrade to A+ with stable outlook. Germany, for the first time, is in the band of the combined ratio that we want, which is 96-98. And as I already said, the innovation, energy, and dynamics are huge at Baloise. Every month we release a new innovative insurance solution, or we make a partnership, or we invest in things. And I think, to be honest and to be quite clear, Simply Safe is really we're actually addressing, anticipating the challenges of the future with our Simply Safe strategy. Having said that, I would like to hand over to questions, and we would be very glad to answer them.
The first question from the phone comes from the line of Peter Elliott with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. The first question, I guess, was on earnings. And, I mean, you've acknowledged, you know, I think before that the sort of guidance that you've given before on the life earnings is a little bit out of date. I'm just wondering if, you know, you're in any better position to update us on that after another half year of very good results. But that's for the life division. And I guess in non-life, you know, the prior year development was 5.5% when you strip out the reserve strengthening you did in the medical malpractice. So I'm just wondering whether that's a sort of sustainable level, because, you know, it wasn't far off what you had last year. The second question, you commented in an interview recently that it's really all about cash flows rather than earnings now. So I'm just wondering if is there any sort of an update you can give us on the cash flows in 2018 or what we should expect. And finally, I guess when we look at the sort of capital and solvency, you know, a number of other insurance companies have given us guidance on sort of target ranges and on what they sort of consider to be an appropriate capital structure. I'm just wondering whether you can give us any comments there on what you think Baloise should look like, and you know, at what point, I mean, if you can't comment specifically today, you know, at what point we might get that addressed in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. I'll try to answer the first two questions, and Carsten will take the third question on capital and solvency position. If you look at our life earnings, well, the interest environment has, of course, become more stable in 2018. And that's why we did not have to reserve as much as in the previous years. And even some releases were possible because there were substantial reserving in the past. Underlying, I think the 200 million guidance we gave at the investors' days in 2016 were always meant to be hitting the bottom actually. So given the difficult interest environment, that was actually the 200 million we put forward. If you look at today, I think, and if you look at last year, we achieved in 2017 an EBIT of around 300 million in life. That would be, I would say, the expectation also going forward. If you look at the non-life and the reserve release, of course, a lot of that was also triggered by the reserving in German or the medical practice. So I think we don't observe any particularities. So we think it's a very stable portfolio and also moving forward. If you look at the cash update, we don't give indeed updates on our three targets half year. We always take into account the seasonality. So we do that on a yearly basis. But we are very confident that we will actually reach the 2 billion cash by 2021 and that we will be again at a run rate in 2018 of slightly over 400 million. For the third question, I'll hand over to Carsten.
Yeah, thank you, Peter, for your question regarding capital. We have given the last SST quota in the context of the full year results 2017, where we've been at 262. I think largely we are still in the blue zone with regard to that. Yet we need to know that we are on the way to the standard models, especially in the Swiss SST modeling context, both for the individual entities as well as for the group. And therefore, since we haven't the models as well as the calibration yet, we don't know exactly where these numbers will turn up, which is something that holds true for the entire industry. So we still have model volatility, but given where we are and given how we are steering the firm, SST currently is not a limiting factor with regard to distribution considerations. And Gerd already alluded to the 2 billion, which can go into investments into the future, into dividends and share buybacks. So on that end, SST is not a limiting factor, and we'll continue with our considerations both on the dividend side as well as the execution on the share buyback. More to come, I think, in the context of next year's SST reporting. When we will then, by definition, report under whatever FINMA considers to be the appropriate framework by then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Are you able to comment on your capital structure at all, or in terms of your use of debt, hybrids, etc.?
No, the capital structure at the moment is as it is. And I think we're going to have a senior debt bond becoming due in spring next year. But basically, on the capital side, we have pretty much all options available and full flexibility.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question from the phone comes from the line of Michael Huttner with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I had lots of questions, but one remark which you gave in your comments just now, huge capital strength, it seems to be different from what the way you answered the questions just before for Peter Elliott, which was very cautious and guarded and saying, oh, we're just on track really, you know, don't worry, but things are fine. And then suddenly you say huge capital strength, and I'm kind of thinking, are these two different companies? So I just wondered if you could comment on that and say, this huge capital strength, how will it benefit shareholders? Because it's not obvious to me at the moment. So this is my first question. The others are more detailed. In terms of the German reserving, so we've had negative surprises this year, and I think last year as well, and maybe the year before. Which costs, I think, somewhere between 80 and 100 million. I just wondered how much more there is to come. Clearly, it's harder to close off these runoff portfolios than I thought. The second is on digital. So clearly you're investing a lot, and that's a good thing, and you're growing the portfolio. I just wondered if you could share your views on the payback of these investments, how quickly these investments will actually lead to profit for shareholders. On the life side, there's reserve release of, 28 or 29 million. And I just wondered if you could say where it was and, you know, where the flexibility is going forward and how much these various buckets you have could release more. And finally, and this is more a kind of personal obsession of mine, maybe you could touch on the trends in motor insurance. I think that's what Peter Elliott was kind of asking in terms of the big underlying reserve release, ex the German edition, and how you see the motor trends developing and the reserve releases and bodily injury claims or whatever. I'm sorry for such a big catalogue of questions. It's just that it's such a good opportunity. Thank you.
We'll try to pick all of these questions up, Michael.
Thank you.
Over. The first one was again about the capital strength, and you're being a bit confused with the message we were sending out. So I'll hand over to Carsten again to give a more precise answer.
No, Michael, thank you. I didn't want to confuse by no means. Maybe I had to warm up a little bit in speaking. No, but beyond, I say this with a twinkle in my eyes. The capital strength we have is unquestioned. Huh? We have, on the back of the capital strength, also received the raise in the Standard & Poor's rating to A+ with stable outlook. And when I was referring to capital strength, then I link this to basically two angles. One is the internal view with regard to our ability to upstream cash from the operations, cash being capital, and stemming from the earnings power we have, and therefore delivering on what Gerd said in the beginning on the 2 billion cash target. So that's one angle that I link the our capital strength to. And the second is if I look at the capital position we have in many frameworks, the S&P framework, the SST framework, and so on. Nowhere capital is a binding restriction for thought. So that's why I allowed myself to talk about huge capital strength, but maybe I shouldn't have used the adjective huge. I just wanted to make one word of caution because of the ongoing substantial modeling efforts going on in big building blocks of our balance sheet and business portfolio. And that's why I was cautious on that side, because until we haven't received the binding instructions from FINMA on how to go about it, we don't know what the outcome will be, and the field test conversations and calibration considerations from the regulator are still going on, and obviously this is ultimately in their full duty, and they will decide about it. Yet I have no doubt that whatever comes out, everything I have said before will more or less remain unchanged. So I hope that puts into perspective the tone of my voice and maybe the adjective I have used.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe I'll jump onto Germany and the question about Germany and reserving levels. Last year, we were indeed hit in the medical liability by a number of large claims. We have analyzed the reserving level in Germany, not only for that portfolio, but for the whole portfolio intensively, internally and externally. And at this point in time, we are sure that we are reserved appropriately. Of course, if you zoom in on the medical liability, this is a long-term portfolio, and you can never exclude that there will still be some volatility in this portfolio. But we have put it actually in the runoff unit on the group level, where we have the necessary expertise so that the management in Germany can concentrate on executing the strategy as we explained in October 2016 at the Investors Day. Digital initiatives, what's your third question, Michael? Indeed, we see every month a new innovative solution, a partnership or an investment coming up. So we're in a very high dynamic of innovation in digital initiatives. Of course, all these different initiatives have to come to maturity. So it's still a bit early to say, hey, what have they really brought from a financial point of view, especially also because a lot of cross-selling with the core of the business happens with this new initiative. What we can say is that we are winning new customers with these initiatives everywhere. We have Friday, the mobile insurer in Berlin, 2017, over 15,000 customers. We have our Yungo suite in Switzerland, which is a particular insurance suite for younger people, which has generated over more than 10,000 new customers over the last 12 months. We have our single unit insurance also in Switzerland with more than 15,000 customers won over the last 6 months. And the growth rate per week is actually increasing. So in terms of winning new customers and developing them into our A and B customers, the strategy is working with the digital initiatives. Reserve release in life was, I think, also a question.
Yes, please.
Yeah. The interest environment, as I said, has stabilized in the first half year of 2018. In the past years, we have reserved quite a lot, so we have substantially strengthened our life reserves. And with a stable interest environment or even a slowly rising interest environment, we can actually release some of the reserve we built in the past. So increasing interest rates are positive for us from a reserve release in life, from a P&L, from an investment point of view. So actually, Belgium has been the country where we have been where we have released quite some reserves. But on the other hand, we have strengthened reserves in Switzerland. So it's always give and take. Net, it has influenced the EBIT in life by 38 million positive. And then your last question was on motor insurance and trends. Stable, I would say. Well, what you see is that frequency is stable. If you look at the larger claims with all the safety devices in the cars and so forth, they actually go down a bit. And our releasing reserves has been over the last years at the rate of 2-3% per year. And we believe that this is sustainable and going forward.
And just on the last point on motor, so large bodily injury claims are coming down, and it implicitly, because it sounds like the smaller parking claims are going up, is a net a positive?
Yeah, the net is more or less stable, I would say, because you're right, in terms of physical injury, actually, with all the safety devices, they go down, so that's positive from a general point of view. But as cars become more and more sophisticated, even the small damages actually cost a bit more. So they equal out a bit. So the good news is that the bodily injuries go down.
And what proportion of your portfolio is bodily injuries and what proportion is damage? I can see the data for various countries is completely different. I was looking at Italy. Italy is 80% MTPL. It looks like Scandinavia is 80% own damage. And I just wondered what it is for your portfolio, which is Switzerland, Belgium, and Germany.
Let me hand that question over to Mark Kaiser, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
We will get back to you on that.
Okay, cool. Okay. Lovely. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question from the phone comes from Daniel Bischoff with Baader Helvea. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you and good morning. Three questions from my side. And the first here is on the Swiss non-life business. Last year, Baloise was still restructuring some of the accident and health businesses. I thought this process would come to an end in 2017. Could you explain what happened in the Swiss non-life business in the first half? I think there were some changes on the distribution side, but growth was still, a bit on the low end. So what was going on there? And then secondly, on the capital strength, maybe a bit from a different perspective. I'd be interested to know whether you see enough capital deployment opportunities organically or inorganically in the current environment, or at which level you would consider additional payouts to shareholders. And then lastly, on the life side, just slide 19 here, if you could talk a bit about the moving parts, you have explained already, the decline on the savings result, is that simply because of lower realized gains, or were there any other effects? And the risk result, on the other hand, improved a bit more than your kind of soft pro rata guidance. And then also lastly, the cost result was a bit weaker. Any comments here would be helpful.
Let me pick the first question, Danny, and I think Carsten will actually pick up then question two and three on capital strength and the sources of profit in life. In the Swiss non-life business, so we have actually also moderate growth in the saturated market, which is I think very good news. Your question about accident and the health business, it's true that it's still a market we look at and we watch because we did some cleaning up of the portfolio and re-underwriting of the portfolio in the past years. However, this market has become a bit more technical, and the fact that we have a slight growth in this business is actually due to the fact that we increased premiums given the re-underwriting. So that's actually what happened there. On the distribution model, what we piloted over the last 2 years, we have actually rolled out beginning of January of this year, which is what we call the omni-channel strategy, which means that the customers are no longer owned by a channel, but the customer chooses how to interact with us, and all the channels work together, meaning agents, be it direct, be it the call center, and so forth. So they all work actually together, and that's quite a big change in the Swiss market, and we're the front runners there in terms of really deploying this omni-channel strategy. Overall, stable, profitable, non-life Swiss market.
Yeah, regarding your second question on capital and deployment, I go back to the 2 billion target that we are pursuing. We had 450 million, 15 million cash remittance in 2017. At the moment, everything points to the direction that we will be able to confirm this level of cash remittance for 2018. Given the dividend and the share buyback that we've executed so far in the first half of this year, with a dividend around 260 million flowing back to the shareholder and around 120 million from the share buyback, we have returned nearly 400 million to the shareholder in the first half of this year. And obviously, the second layer is investing into the strategy and into new bets. So I think given that, given the cash remittance that we have, and given all angles with regard to investment, dividends, and buybacks, there is plenty of deployment opportunities with regard to use of the 2 billion cash remittance until 2021. Then your question was on the profit by sources analysis from the life segment. What has happened there? You see a savings result that was lower in comparison to first half of 2017. One of the major reasons here was that we had to realize less capital gains. Not the least to put additional reserves, especially in the German business, according to the Zinszusatzreserve dynamics. The second part of the equation, which is the reserving, is not visible under an IFRS profit by sources analysis. So therefore, you only see the one side of the coin, and this explains a large part of the lower savings result in the first half of this year. On the risk result, we are sticking to our expectation that the risk result for the full year will be around 200 to 250 million. On the cost side, we don't see any substantial effect or trend. So if we pull all this together, as been said before, the 200 million bottom guidance that we've given in the context of the Investor Day is too cautious in current environment. So we think that a target area of 300 million for the life EBIT for 2018 is a better ballpark figure.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Jonny Urwin with UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning all. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple, please. I just wanted to dig into the German medical malpractice book a little bit. Apologies if if these questions are repeating. I missed the very start of the call. So firstly, can you give us the size of the reserves now for that German med mal book? And could you also give us the duration of the book? And I guess where do you believe you're reserved on the best estimate range now for that specific book? Now, I wouldn't normally ask you to disclose this level of detail on a specific book, but given the consistent sort of deterioration we've seen, I think it would be helpful. And then secondly, the carve out of that book into the runoff unit. I mean, is it just to help the German management focus on the new business and the front book rather than have to manage legacy? Is it to do with presentation, so you know we can see the progress of that book more clearly, or is there another reason, like you're thinking about a divestment or a reinsurance arrangement? Thank you.
Well, if you look at the medical liability in Germany, what we've done is an intensive review internally and externally of all reserves, not only the medical liability book. And we are sure that we are reserved adequately. So that's for the whole book. What we also done in the first half year, if you've seen that, is actually a reserve strengthening for this medical liability of about over 45 million gross. So we additionally reserve this book. How long will it take? There will be some volatility in this run-off book, that is clear. It's probably around 7 to 10 years. So it's long-term business, so it will still linger on to some extent. What we have done in separating this business, in completely exiting this business, and in actually addressing it as a runoff unit on the group level, is because we already have for a long time a runoff group practice, which is specialized with the necessary expertise. So actually it is on one side enabling the German management to focus on the strategy execution away from industry into private customers and SME business, and actually to have the specialized experts here in headquarters actually managing and executing this runoff in a good way. That's actually the decision we took.
I guess just to follow up on that, on the reserving adequacy. I mean, we've heard that comment before, that you're comfortable with the current reserving of the book, and you think it's adequate. And then there's further deterioration. I wonder if you can just give us some more comfort via either anecdotal evidence or some hard numbers around the best estimate range.
We're actually, so the amount we put in terms of the additional reserve strengthening in the medical liability is best estimate.
That is best estimate. So
yeah.
So you're not reserving with a specific buffer over best estimate for that book.
No, it's a best estimate reserve strengthening.
Okay, all right. And can you give us the overall size of the reserves now? Just for the MedMal book.
We don't disclose normally the reserves by branch, so that's difficult to answer.
All right, thanks.
The next question from the phone comes from the line of Stefan Schürmann with Vontobel. Sir, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes, just two questions. One is to follow up on the reserve adjustments in life. You mentioned that there was a reserve strengthening in Switzerland. If I take sort of a bold estimate, I think it was around 100 million. Maybe could you give some more insight here, how much was relating to the individual and group life? And second question, just a very small one. I didn't find net new money on the asset management side. Maybe some elaboration on that side as well, please.
Well, the net new assets is 354 million Swiss francs. That
okay.
Compares with 405 million for the total of 2017. You can actually find that number in the presentation on page. Just a second. Page 26 on the left-hand side, you can find the net new asset number.
Okay, and what assets were responsible for the inflows? Can you maybe?
That's the net new assets, that's the inflows.
Yeah, but what kind of basically assets did produce that inflow? Is it fixed income?
It's mostly multi-asset product, primarily our product Perspectiva, which has been sold quite successfully in the recent past.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
So, Stefan, with regard to reserves in Switzerland and reserves strengthenings in Switzerland, we have done reserve strengthenings for the entire book in Switzerland in order to bring the interest requirement further down. That was one of the major reasons why, if you look at the interest rate margin that we disclosed in slide 20, contributing to reducing on an overall level of 7 basis points the book. I think with regard to further detail, I'll transfer you to Mark and his team until they'll get back to you.
Okay, that's helpful. Yeah, thank you.
The next question from the phone comes from Frank Kompfinger with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I have two questions. My first question is a follow-up on Johnny Irwin's question regarding the German runoff unit. For me, it was not clear whether your preferred strategy now is an internal rundown and you keep it, or whether also the sale of this runoff unit could be our portfolio, could be an option. And then secondly, on the life business, if interest rates were stable now from here on, should we expect a further positive interest rate development, or would you still further strengthen reserves, for example, in Switzerland, which would lead to a negative effect here?
I think in the German runoff decision that we took, again, it was to enable the German management to focus on executing the strategy away from industry into private customers and SME. And as we have this runoff unit already on the group level, is to use that expertise to actually have a solid runoff business. So that's the idea behind. I think towards the future, I think different options are possible, including a potential sale of this book of business, but it's too early to say now. I think we first have to go into managing the runoff in an appropriate way. In terms of life and the interest environment, if interest would remain stable or increase slightly, it would clearly have a positive effect for us. One on potential reserves release, which we have strengthened massively in the past. In terms of also recurring income, of course, on new investment, in terms of P&L. So indeed, I think we have seen in the first half year that depending on the situation, depending also on the local situation, you have you can have some reserve release, or you can have some reserve strengthening, which is required. Overall, a stable or a slightly increasing interest environment would be very beneficial for Baloise.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I have three questions. The first one is you pointed out the 7 bips on page 20, and if I multiply that by your life reserves in Switzerland, which is 26 billion, I get an answer of 18 million, 1/8 of reserve strengthening. So I wondered if that's roughly the calculation I should be doing. The second is on the total cost or the total investment in these innovation projects. I just wondered if you could give a total figure and maybe how it breaks down between an investment in a startup and in an ongoing business, and how much is in the combined ratio so far. And then on the medical malpractice, I'm not sure that it's very fair, but I remember in Zurich in 2012 or 13 had a very significant addition for medical malpractice or hospital claims, and they kind of pulled out of that business. And I just wondered, your portfolio, is this effectively the Zurich book which you took over back then? It's just out of curiosity to kind of see the moving parts. Thank you.
Okay, so I take the first question on slide 20. The 7 basis points reduction, that you see here is, first of all, for the entire life book. So it's not only Switzerland, it's the entire life book. And obviously, it's also the runoff of the book, policies coming to maturity. So if there's a mixture of elements in it. The thing that I wanted to say is that part of the reserve strengthening in Switzerland in order to get the interest rate requirement down is also reflected on this. But page 20 is group perspective, therefore you cannot directly calculate back from the Swiss reserves to these 7 basis points.
Okay.
But again, as I said also to before, the IR team can come back to you as we said.
Lovely, thank you.
Maybe on the investments in digital initiatives, I think what is important to say is that we actually consider those initiatives on a case-by-case basis. That means if an investment makes sense, then we do that. So we don't have an overall budget where we say, well, we're going to invest that much in digital initiatives. It's on a case-by-case basis that the business case has to make sense. I think also digital is certainly not only about technology. I think it's really a change of mind, a change of behavior in the customer, and it's a change of mind in our culture to actually deal with digital. Digital is by far not a technology thing only. If you would name a number, I think if you look back at our digital initiatives, and it also depends on how you define digital, of course. I mean, investing in our core business and our core IT systems to make them more agile and to make them more easy for the customers are also digital investments. I would say run rate of investment is 150 million, more or less, per year. But again, evaluated on a case-by-case basis. And then the third question, the medical malpractice. If you look at the portfolio we have, it's a pretty small portfolio that we still have. We started writing medical liability in the mid 2000s, so 2005, 2006. There was indeed a big shock in 2012 with Zurich. We did not take over that portfolio at all. Our portfolio is much, much smaller. And actually, over the last years, we stopped writing new business. And in 2016, 17, and 18, we exited from everything. So that's actually what happened over the last year. So since the early 2010s, we actually re-underwrite a lot, and we exited the whole medical liability. But we still have to deal now with the runoff of that portfolio.
Lovely. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you.
The next question comes from René Locher with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Just a quick one on Germany. I remember that you were guiding for a German combined ratio of 96-98% in the medium term. Now in H1, you were at 96.4%. So my question is, how sustainable is this? And perhaps you can also comment on your business mix in Germany. As far as I know, one-third was commercial business, two-thirds was retail business. You have shown a little bit of growth in the German book. So that would be my first question. Just the second one, we have discussed this already, but realized capital gains are more than 100 million lower year over year. And yeah, I was wondering, of course, it's hard to quantify, you know, but perhaps you can give just kind of a guidance, you know, what we should expect for H2. Thank you.
Thank you, René. I think if you look at Germany, the combined ratio target we set was 96-98, and indeed we achieved that in the first half year. If you look at the business, it's solid. So if we don't have big catastrophes or events in the second half year, we are very confident that we'll remain at this level, 96-98. The underlying quality of the portfolio is good. So the private business that we are writing more and more has a claims ratio just below 60%. So that's solid. That's quality, and that's sustainable. And if you look at the execution of the strategy, so away from high-risk industry business in which we only took portions of bigger contracts into private customers and SME business, I think we have seen clearly a growth in the business in private customers. So we increased it by 5% in the first half year. So we are generating a lot of new customers in private business based on two elements. Working together in a very simple solution with brokers, which generates a standard commoditized high-volume business. That's one. And secondly, our medallion strategy, which is if we actually release a new product, be it in non-life or the life, we always want to be in the top three of the comparable site. And this brings, of course, a lot of new customers. So we're clearly decreasing our exposure in industry, and we're clearly increasing our success and business mix in private customers and SME. So the strategy is working.
Okay, thanks.
On the realized capital gains, I can add there has been a decrease compared to first half year of 2017, although basically in 2017 the number has been rather high since we had to undertake a very strong reserve strengthenings on the life side. That was partly triggered by legal requirements, especially in Germany with the Zinszusatzreserve. And so the capital gains have always to be seen in the context of these reserve strengthenings, especially in the life business. So to give an outlook, that really depends on the interest rate environment. In P&C, it also, of course, depends on the market environment. So it's difficult to give a clearer outlook for the rest of the year.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
If there are no further questions, then I would actually close it here. Many thanks for your attendance and the questions. I think with the half-year result, we have again proven to build further on our strengths. And with Simply Safe strategy, we're actually building the future of Baloise. Thank you very much.